Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. Allahumma 'allimna ma yanfa'una, Allahumma anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa zidna ilma. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of this universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, we beseech thee to increase us in our knowledge and to protect us from the deceptions of the Satan and the evil of our souls. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. In today's hadith lesson, we discuss jihad. Jihad, jim, ha, alif, dal. The word which many people, Muslims also do not understand properly, and non-Muslims, the vast majority of them, do not understand. So we will discuss this from many perspectives and many angles. Number one, what is the meaning of jihad? Literally, if a person goes and looks in the lexicon, you will find badlul juhudi, which means that you spend your strength, your ability. So whether a person uses his own ability, capability, or whether a person uses his wealth, whether a person uses anything, so all that literally will be called jihad. And when we look at it from an Islamic point of view and Islamic perspective, it means istighraghu taqa fi mudafati a'da'i al-Islam, that a person exhausts his power in defending Islam against the enemies of Islam. So this is the definition according to the scholars and jurists of Islam. Now the question obviously will arise that why did Islam allow jihad? When we make an in-depth study of the noble Quran, Almighty Allah mentions this very clearly. In the life of Nabi alayhi salatu salam in Makkah Mukarramah, there was no jihad in the meaning of fighting against the enemy. There it was salat and dua and so forth, and supplications and prayer. Then in Madinah Munawwara, Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla said, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. That permission has been given now for you to fight and to be fought against because you are oppressed. So this means that when you are oppressed, then definitely you have the right to fight. So Almighty Allah allowed it. When we are oppressed, we are not saying, as some apologetic and Muslims are saying, that they say Islam only allows defensive wars. No. Islam allows offensive war also, but that is a last resort. So Islam, that is the Qadianis and people who are apologetic, they are out of the fold of Islam, the Qadianis. So Islam allows that offensive and defensive war, but when initially it was sanctioned and allowed, it was on a defensive basis. Now the question arises that what is the rationale and wisdom that Islam allowed it? Almighty Allah mentions there's two places in the Quran, if you just make a cursory study of the Quran. وَلَوْلَا دَفْءُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضِ. If there is no repelling of some by the others, then this world will be filled with fitna, fasad, chaos and mayhem. And that is what we're seeing today. We can see that people are going headlong into the fire, headlong towards disaster, and the vice is becoming rife and rampant. There is no house, there is no country that can say that there is no fitna, no fasad. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدينا. That Quran says that when the fasad and the turmoil, chaos becomes manifest and apparent on the land and on the water because of human beings' own deeds. So Quran tells us that why has jihad, fighting, all that been allowed and accepted in Islam? Not because it is beautiful or something, you know, very good in itself, but rather it is to remove a greater evil, and that is the vices and the injustices that will prevail if there is no one to check. people who have this hidden agenda and ulterior motives. And yet in another place, Almighty Allah says, that walawla dafullayna sabadhum bi'adin lahuddimat sawabi'u wa bi'u wa salawatu wa masajidu yuzkaru fiha ismullahi kathira. The places of worship, whether it is the monks' monastery, whether it is the synagogues, whether it is the churches, whether it is the masajid and places of worship for Muslims, where Almighty Allah's name is taken abundantly, all that will be demolished. And we can see that happening today. So far we have discussed the lexicon meaning of jihad. We have discussed the technical meaning according to the scholars and jurists. Why did Almighty Allah allow it initially? And what are the wisdoms and rationale? Now you get different types of jihad. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla makes this very clear in the Quran. Tujahiduna bi amwalikum wa anfusikum fi sabilillah. You strive, you struggle. So jihad means a striving, a struggling. Bi amwalikum wa anfusikum. Some places amwal is mentioned first with your wealth. So when we spend that 50 rand, 5 rand, 1 rand, 50 cents, $5, whatever it might be, so that is jihad with our wealth. So tujahiduna bi amwalikum wa anfusikum, with your person. You go out yourself. You go to study Islam. You go to work and for halal income. All that is jihad in one way or the other. You go and teach people something, that is jihad. You go and invite people towards Islam and something good, so that is jihad. So jihad has a very, very broad connotation in Islam. And you have, it is what we would call the umbrella. And all these are the components of it. One, without a shadow of doubt, is qital. Qital is fighting the enemy, where we go in with our swords in the good old days, and now you go in with your guns blazing, you go in with your tanks, and you go in with modern artillery. So all that would be acceptable. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla has made this clear. So first type of jihad would be with the wealth, one type of jihad with your persons, one is jihad al-nafs, where you suppress your desires. Therefore some ulama have said it's hadith, others have said it's a very weak hadith, that raja'na min al-jihad al-akbari, min al-jihad al-asghari ila al-jihad al-akbar, that we have returned from the small jihad to the big jihad. Small jihad is to fight the enemy, and the big jihad is the greater jihad, to fight one's own passions, lust, desires. So that is all the time constant. So therefore the ulama say that's a bigger one. But there is a kalam and discussion among muhaddiseen. Some have said it's weak, some have said it's acceptable. But we are just mentioning the different types of jihad. So anything we do to uplift Islam. Look at the master Nabi alayhi salatu salam. They said, Ya Rasulullah, one person fights because of partisanship. One person fights because he wants to show what a brave soldier, brave person is. One person fights just for ostentation and to impress people. What did the master alayhi salatu salam say? Man qatala, who fights the enemy, it means. Litakuna kalimatullahi al-ulya, so that the name of Almighty Allah, the deen of Almighty Allah, Islam can be elevated. Fawa fi sabilillah, he is in the path of Almighty Allah. Intention, niyyah, is that which only Almighty Allah knows. None of us know what is in the heart of others. Therefore we say, today we give the benefit of the doubt, if there is any doubt, to Hamas, and we say they are mujahid fi sabilillah. We say Hezbollah are mujahid fi sabilillah. We say the people and Taliban are in Afghanistan, are mujahid fi sabilillah. In Iraq, the mujahid fi sabilillah. In Chechnya, Somalia, Sudan. Because they are fighting the invading forces. They are fighting the Israeli, the rogue state, and the apartheid regime. The Zionists have a hidden agenda, and that is everybody must be inferior to them, and they must hold the upper hand, because they have the veto power over America in the United Nations. So that's all it is. So this is why we as Muslims need to understand. Today a big UN cry is made, Hezbollah to blame. When was Hezbollah formed? Hezbollah was only formed after Israel invaded Lebanon. Sharon and his cronies, the butcher of Beirut, when and why did they invade? So go to the real causes. You occupy our land, you invade our land, and you kill our children, and the Muslim must keep quiet. That can never have happened. So therefore, Iraq, illegal invasion, even by United Nations, it was mentioned. Kofi Annan mentioned it himself. So don't come and tell us about Muslims, and we are the guilty party, when Bush, Blair, Colin Powell, the American regime, did they not speak lies to the world when they spoke about weapons of mass destruction? Are you not the real cause and the root cause for all the problems today in Iraq? So these are issues we have to speak about. Today, the Ahmed Israeli regime, the apartheid and Zionist rogue state tells us we withdrew from Lebanon. You know what they withdrew? They withdrew their ground troops and they left landmines every day, everywhere. Go ask the Lebanese people and people of Lebanon how many of their children's arms and hands and feet had to be amputated because of the landmines left there by the Israeli regime and army. They speak about we withdrew. They don't tell you how many people, innocent men, women, children, they have incarcerated who are from Lebanon and Palestine. Do they tell you this? They want to paint a good picture and make and demonize Islam and the Muslims. So we as Muslims must understand, therefore I'm choosing this topic, that jihad in the meaning of wealth, jihad with our time, use your time constructively, read and spend your money and your efforts to elevate. Third one, with our lives. And fourth one, in any way you can uplift and elevate the kalima and the word of Almighty Allah, all that would be considered as different types of jihad. When is jihad compulsory? Jihad becomes compulsory, farza'in, like how to read salat five times a day is compulsory upon every Muslim male and female who is sane and mature. Jihad in the meaning of fighting, becomes compulsory when the enemy enters your country. When an enemy comes today in Lebanon, it's compulsory for the Lebanese Muslims that they have to fight against the invading people, the Israeli rogue state and their army. In Iraq, it is falls upon the people to fight the coalition and the enemy. Those who side with the coalition, those who side with the Israelis, they are the sellouts and they are committing nifaq and hypocrisy. It's for short and ill-gotten gain. So that is what they are trying to do. Muslims, when people come into your territory, simple. Someone comes to your house, someone comes to your car, someone comes to attack your wife, children, Allah forbid, Allah forbid. What will you do? Be a spectator or will you be a person who takes action? Obviously, we have to take action. You can't be just be a dead. Rather, we die with honor than we live under the Israeli and coalition disgrace and humiliation. That is what Islam is all about. We need to understand this without apology to anybody. When the Master Nabi alayhi salatu salam used to send out people, then what was given to them, the message? What a beautiful message Islam gives us. This is Islam. Anas radiallahu ta'ala who says, Anna Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the Master Nabi alayhi salatu salam when he used to send out the army, the troops in different parts of the world. He used to say, Intaliqu. The hadith is mentioned in Abu Dawood. Go forth and now move. Bismillah, in the name of Allah. So first of all, the Mujahideen, our brothers, sisters, children in Palestine, Lebanon, Iraq, and Afghanistan, Chechnya, Sudan, Somal, wherever, strive, go forth in the name of Almighty Allah. Wa billah, and seek the assistance of Almighty Allah. Wa ala millati Rasulillah, on the religion which Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought to us, not our own whims and fancies. Wa la taqtulu shaykhan faniya. O Muslim army, you are not allowed to kill old people. People who have nothing to do with the war. People who have nothing to do with the invasion. You can't just be killing them, O Muslims. That we leave to the enemies. They kill our people and children. Wala tiflan saghira. You cannot be killing children. Here I need to mention something. Today some Muslims who are apologetic and do not understand the Sharia, they say, that's the word they use, therefore I'm using it, suicide bombers are killing women and children, so how can it be permissible? First of all, to call it suicide bombers is an insult. It is a martyrdom operations. And secondly, If the target of any Muslim person is innocent women and children, that definitely is not allowed. But when the target is the army, when the target is the reservists, when it is with the strategists and the people who are aiding and abetting the enemy, you attack them, and by the way, unintentionally the children get killed, the women get killed, remember this is acceptable in Islamic law as well, because otherwise the enemy will always take children and use them as a bargaining chip, and war will come to an end. No, Islam says even if they take Muslims and put them in the first serf, we must continue, make the intention that you are fighting the enemy. It has to do with intention. So we need to be very clear on these issues. وَلَا تِفْلًا صَغِيرًا, and children who are minors, you cannot be killing them. وَلَا مْرَأَةً women, وَلَا تَغُلُّوا, you cannot be helping yourself. Now you take the wealth and pocket it, it must go to the Baytul Mal, to the public treasury, and then the division would be done. Look at the enemy. When they get our women, they rape them, as Abu Ghuraib. When they got chance, then they abused the men, sodomized them, and then they got all of our prisoners, tortured them. Look at Guantanamo Bay. So these are what the enemy do. This is what Islam is teaching us. And Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, wa aslihu wa ahsinu, and try and do good, try and reconcile. Inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin, Allah loves those who do good. Rawahu Abu Dawud. The hadith is mentioned Abu Dawud. So we need to be very clear and specific on these issues here. Regarding killing of children and all that, remember that definitely is not permissible intentionally and deliberately. And number, regarding women, must women go out and fight or are they not allowed at all? This hadith is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. This is mentioned by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad. قالت أم أتيا رضي الله عنها أم أتيا رضي الله تعالى عنها says غزوت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم I myself participated in battle سبع غزوات and seven battles with النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أخلفهم في رحالهم I would stay back in the camp and in the tent of the Muslims the men would go forward and فأضع لهم طعام I used to prepare the food وأداوي الجرحى I used to tend and attend to those who were injured and wounded وأقوم على المرضى and help those who are sick. It shows. If women go in with this role here, then definitely it is permissible with the permission of the Amir and the Commander-in-Chief. So it shows in Islam they would not take part in battle. Nabi alayhi salatu salam told the women, Jihad la qitala fi. For you women, there is jihad, but got no physical fighting. And what is it? Huwa al-hajju wal-umrah. That is hadith of hajj and umrah. You go for pilgrimage. It is mentioned in Bukhari, mentioned in Ibn Majah and Musnad Ahmed. So that is the jihad for the ladies, the hajj and the umrah. However, it does not mean that our women must not be well groomed for this enemy. What do I mean by this? That they should be armed as well. This hadith is mentioned in Bukhari. Umme Sulaim says, radiallahu an, qataltu yawma Hunain, on the day of Hunain, that is after the Fatih Makkah in the 80th of the Hijrah, وَهِيَ شَادَةٌ عَلَىٰ بَطْنِهَا وَكَانَتْ حَامِلَىٰ بِبْنِهَا عَبْدِلَّهِ, that she says that she was pregnant and her stomach was blown up, obviously. So she had a husband, Zaid, and this was her son with whom she was pregnant, Abdullah. So, حَتَّى قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, she fought the enemy, and what did she do? She even poked the enemy, because when they came to attack her, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَمَقَامُهَا خَيْرٌ مِّن مَقَامِ فُلَانٍ وَفُلَانٍ, she was better than this man and that man, الَّذِينَ إِنْهَزَمُوا, those men who took flight and ran away. So it shows that for a woman to arm herself is totally permissible. And if you want, then you will find an incident like that as well. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would allow the women and to come there to the battlefield. Sometimes, like Rubay bin always says, كنا نغزو مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that we used to go with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the battle for نسقي القوم and give them water, ونخدمهم and make the khidmah, they needed attendance, ونردو الجرحى, and we used to go to the people who were wounded, والقتلى إلى المدينة, and those who were wounded and passed away and shaheed, take them back to Medina, Rawah al-Bukhari. The hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. So all these are clear evidence that we should also know. In Sahih Muslim, Umme Sulaim is mentioned that she says, اتخذوا خنجرًا, that I, Umme Sulaim, I had a dagger, يوم حنين. وقالت للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, يا رسول الله, I told Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, اتخذته, I took it, إن دنا مني أحد المشركين, and if any of these kafirs, mushriks, come to me, بقرت بطنه, I will poke it into his stomach and tear him up. So Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم did not object. So we, the women, you and Muslims, men should be ensured that the women are also well prepared and well, groomed for this type of task, because today the enemy is lurking in many places. We can't be sitting ducks, and that is what Islam is teaching us. Why are Muslims victorious? Muslims are victorious because of several reasons. Number one, because of our iman. That we believe in Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. If we are victorious, we don't attribute it to ourselves. We say it is Almighty Allah who gave us victory. If Allah helps you, فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ, there's none to overpower you. وَإِيَّخْذُلْكُمْ, and if Almighty Allah withdraws his help, فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِي, then who is there to help you besides Almighty Allah? No one. So this is the first thing, our mindset, our thinking process and thought process. Always connect ourselves to Almighty Allah. Look at the Sahaba. Inna an-nasa qad jama'u lakum. There the people came and told them that they are mobilizing, organizing their forces. Fakhshawhum, fear them. Halan and maqalan. What happened to Sahabas? With their tongues they said, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Allah is sufficient for us. Allah is the best one to take care of the affairs. That was by tongue. And outwardly, what did they do? Their actions were, Fazadahum imana. Their iman increased and they said, Allah is sufficient for us. So internally the iman increased. Outwardly they uttered the words, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. So first reason is we become committed, devoted, dedicated to Almighty Allah. Life, death, everything is in the hands of Almighty Allah. And take the lesson of Khansa radiallahu anha, O mothers. That Khansa radiallahu ta'ala anha, who in the battle of Qadisiyah, what happened when her four sons of hers, all of them passed away, became shaheed, she did not drop, she did not cry. And she gave a khutbah. And what a khutbah she delivered. A khutbah that every lady should know. And every lady should use it as an inspiration. Hazrat Khansa radiallahu ta'ala anha, when four sons of hers passed away, she came and said, Alhamdulillah alladhi, all praise due to Almighty Allah, sharrafani biqatlim jami'a. Oh Allah, you gave me honor that my sons are given the stages of martyrdom. Wa arjullah azza wa jal ay yajma'ani bihim, that oh Almighty Allah, you gather me with them, fi mustaqarri rahmatihi, in the place of mercy. A mother's dua after four sons are given. Our children of Palestine, our mujahideen of Palestine, our brothers, sisters and children of Lebanon, our blood in Iraq and in Afghanistan is not in vain. It's always acceptable in the court of Almighty Allah. Remember this. وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. You hope and you expect from Allah what they can never expect. Therefore, the enemy always feared to die, and the Muslim is always prepared to die. That is the big difference. And the enemy knows that. And therefore, they can only use their aerial power. Afghanistan we saw, Iraq we saw, now we are seeing it in Beirut and Lebanon. So this is the enemy's tactic. لَا يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ جَمِيعًا إِلَّا فِي قُرًى مُحَسَّنَةٍ أَوْ مِنْ وَرَاءِ جُدُرٍ بَأْسُهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ شَدِيدٌ. Almighty Allah says, the Jews, when they fight the enemy, they will fight from behind the wall like cowards. They will fight from places where they are covered. They won't come in combat. You think jami'a, that they are united. وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. Their hearts are different. بَأْسُهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ شَدِيدٌ. Among themselves, they have big differences and big wars among themselves as well. So this is what Quran is making clear. We love with hope. We die with conviction in Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. So first thing is our faith and iman should motivate us. Second thing, it must be done solely, only for the pleasure of Allah. Ikhlas. Otherwise, the person on day of Qiyamah, the mujahid, who we say mujahid, if the intention is wrong, he'll be one of the first people to be sent to Jahannam, Allah forbid. So ikhlas, O Allah, help us. O Allah, you keep our intention clear. It must not be tainted. It must not be polluted and painted, O Allah. And third one, that ita'atul amir. Nabi alayhi salatu salam, speaking about the amir, he said that you must continue with the jihad even if your amir is not a pious person. The hadith is mentioned in Abu Dawood. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu qala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, al jihad wajibun alaykum. Jihad is compulsory upon you, ma'a kulli amirin barran kana aw fajira, whether he is a pious amir or whether he is not a pious amir. Wa in amil al kabair, although he does and commits vices, yet you follow him as long as he's telling us to fight the enemy. So that is what we need to learn. That today we all want to be in comfort zone. So may Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla accept our time, accept our efforts, accept our wealth, accept our lives, all so that we can uplift the flag of Islam. And may Almighty Allah destroy the enemy. Once again, we urge all the Imams in Africa, Asia, Europe, and Australia, America, wherever you might be, start reading Kunut and Nazila. Make dua for our Mujahideen. Allahumma alayka bil Yahudi al-Zalimeen. O Allah, those enemies of ours, the Zionist regime, you destroy them, O Allah. They are not invincible as they want us to believe. And may Almighty Allah show us the day when the whole of Palestine, Iraq, Afghanistan, Lebanon, and Chechnya, all these places, Sudan, Somalia, can be liberated. And may Almighty Allah bless our martyrs and grant them the highest stages in Jannah, inshaAllah. Wa akhiru da'wana, anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.